Je suis Gabi Les Jules. Obviously, I need to start like that because Messi is now in Paris. Of course, he was in the last show anyway, but whatever. Grey Skies over North London. We have a packed show for you today because we'll be talking a little bit of Cristiano, Serie A starting up. We got the Champions League playoffs. We got the Kane saga. But let's go and talk Super Cup, as in the German kind of Super Cup. Jan Agafjordtoft is with us. Jan, I'm going to go right in. I thought, all right, I wasn't sure Bayern drew the opener against Gladbach. What was the mentality be? And then they put three past Dortmund, and I thought they looked in control. Although then when I kind of rewatched the highlights again, I thought, okay, some serious defensive mistakes from Dortmund, some big saves from Manuel Neuer.
Well, I think that is a good summarize. We every season we have the hope that Bayern will somehow find a way not to win the league titles or all titles in Germany. And on after that 1-1, I also thought that game Gladbach had chances. Yes, they should have a couple of penalties, but Bayern were okay at the time also in that game. But in this game, as you said, Manuel Neuer, some great saves. Erling Haaland didn't get goals this time, but could have two or three. But, you know, the first 11, the starting 11 for Bayern Munich is very, very good. I mean, we can't discuss that the squad doesn't have the depth. They haven't got enough good players if something happened to the starting 11 or starting 12, 13 of the team. But they were solid. And they got Robert Lewandowski. I think the first goal he scored, the timing, if you say... He tells Gnabry he with his hand where he wants the ball. He just runs into them and he gets a goal. And it has to be said, boys, if you see the Dortmund team, you can have a couple of like where Paslak or Witzel is going too slow, and that is nothing to do when you wanted to challenge the mighty Bayern Munich.
Yeah, poor Paslak. Jules, were you impressed?
I was just a bit disappointed by Dortmund. I thought I was really expecting them to be closer to Bayern in terms of challenging them in that game, and it's just the whole bad habits, the mistakes that we saw last season. I thought with Marco Rose maybe that would change, but defensively it's not good enough when you play against a team like this. And I think the third goal for me sums it all up. Tolisso has just come onto the pitch. Akanji takes forever to try that vertical pass forward. Tolisso blocks it, then Lewandowski scores almost an easy tap in. And I just think unless Dortmund work that out and correct that, they will never get close to Bayern.
I feel for Paslak, obviously, two nightmares in a row. But, Jan, I want to ask you, does this feel like a Nagelsmann team yet?
I think that the good thing, I interviewed a lot of three players after the games. And this unity, I mean, I think that they like this manager. They think he is a very smart manager. They think this is a new start for Bayern somehow. And like a Thomas Müller, who has won, I think that was his 26th title, although he didn't know it himself. I mean, I got one title and I cherish that very much. He got 26.
It's easier to count to one than it is to count to 26.
It is. It is, but I think that slowly they want him to do well for him. You see all the quotes from Kimmich and Goretzka. They're all talking about we're going to do it for the manager. So this time they have a manager that I think they want to see that this is the future, because as we know, he's a smart manager. On the other side, we have Rose, who in this game, I think the way he's playing when you're putting a second striker in Moukoko, for me, is not good enough at the moment. Mm-hmm. Malen came on and he didn't look like that. I don't think he's a good enough footballer. Okay, let's give him more than some minutes, but still. Then you see, when you play this Raute or this diamond kind of thing, then you have Royce, who is in excellent form, had a great goal in the Super Cup. Then he got to run as much as the rest of the midfielder, not to kind of create space for the opposition. So it's going to be interesting to see how Rose will kind of find a way that he will still keep one striker with a lone striker, or will he put an extra on, and how that's going to work in midfield. Because Goretzka, Kimmich kind of showed the midfielders of Dortmund what world class really is.
Well, I'm glad you made that point about Malen, because Jules and I, earlier this summer, I wasn't big on the Malen signing.
Malen came on.
You liked it.
He came on and did well when he came on. I think he should have started that game, and I think he would be great for them. Bellingham was really good, but I agree with Jan, in midfield, the formation Rose picked, I don't think was good enough.
All right, Jan, you mentioned the Goretzka issue. You mentioned Goretzka there, and obviously doing really, really well. We know how important he is. He has a contractual issue. And I'm wondering, news breaking here in London this morning, I think no surprise. Shall I we out who the source of the news is?
Yeah,
it's reported on Sky. I'm pretty sure it comes from Pini Zahavi, who advises Robert Lewandowski, who's a subject here, because he's got 2 years left on his contract, and it says he's thinking of a new challenge. Now, can you reassure Bayern fans? Oh, I want to get your take on this. Could his new challenge be Manchester City straight away in case they don't get Kane? Because I guarantee you somebody will speculate that that could be something. Does he just want a new deal? What's going on?
Well, this is what we do know, which is for real, is that Chelsea, they wanted Erling Haaland. That was their choice number one. After they didn't get him, they asked Bayern about Lewandowski, and the Bayern camp said there's no chance in the world. But what is quite interesting, first of all, how can it be breaking news that Robert Lewandowski next summer, because this summer, I can't say that word, but this that is going this summer, that of course it won't go this summer. But the thing is, next summer, it's quite interesting, then Robert Lewandowski is 34. He's broken the Gerd Müller record. He's won everything for Bayern Munich. That he then wants a new challenge. I mean, how can that be breaking news? He's 34. He's got a body like a 27, so he can probably play another couple of three seasons. What I think is quite interesting now when we're thinking into next summer already is that Manchester City, I can't believe that Manchester City don't want to wait for Haaland. Because if they get Kane now, somehow they're blocking that position.
100%.
And Bayern Munich, they have the other challenge that they have the best striker in the world, but still they want to get Haaland next summer, which is normal because then he's 22 and he can play for you another 10 seasons. So it's a kind of interesting challenges for the big clubs now. Yeah. But that Robert Lewandowski, when he's 34, wants a new challenge, how in the world can that be breaking news?
Jan, you say it's not breaking news, but obviously the story comes out now. It's planted now. My first reading, when it comes like this, given what you said before about how teams like Bayern, you know, they're not going to go and move somebody with the transfer window closing in a couple weeks. My first thing is new contract, or at least explore the possibility of a new contract. Yep. He's got 2 years left. You said he will have broken all of Gerd Müller's records by next summer. I don't think he's going to score 84 Bundesliga goals this year. As good as he is, but he might do. But what do you think the strategy is from Lewandowski's camp? You know, why do this now? Is it another year at Bayern maybe? Or is it really a change of scenery?
No, I think that what I try to do is the kind of, I call it always, I always use that Sir Alex Ferguson, Cristiano Ronaldo philosophy, that you say before he went to Real Madrid, you say play another year for us and the next summer we saw things out and he did well. So I can see that they somehow try to find an understanding that because he won't go this summer, there's no chance that Bayern Munich will let him give now. So that there will somehow be an understanding that he can leave the next summer. The problem for Bayern, of course, is that they're not sure that they will have a replacement for him. I mean, candidate number one is normal because Bayern like to do that. They try to get to the best players in Germany. I think that is the most realistic way for them to get the best players because they don't have the money to get the superstars who are going around Europe now at the moment. So this is the challenge for Bayern Munich, because if they make that arrangement with Robert Lewandowski, they still, I don't think even Team Haaland knows where he's playing next summer. Because you don't know the market, you know, don't know the coaches, you don't know the money. So it's quite interesting challenge to follow this.
I think it'd be interesting because, okay, let's say that Lewandowski doesn't want a new contract. That this is all happening now because he wants to move next summer, like Jan said, and I think that's right. So next summer, potentially, I guess Manchester City will have already Harry Kane, so he can't go. Lewandowski won't be able to go to City
unless they don't get Harry Kane.
Yeah, but okay, but they will get someone else. I don't think City would be an option for Lewandowski in a year time, and especially at 34.
Could I just jump in there? If they get somebody else who's not Harry Kane, most likely it's not going to be an A-list person unless they go and get Mbappe. I mean, later on, a preview in the quick hits, we'll be talking about Vlahovic perhaps as a plan B, just to have a guy in, right? So I think the opening for a top drawer guy could still be there if they don't get Kane at Manchester City.
True. Sorry, okay. I reframe. My point was, boys, is that Lewandowski would have to wait a year if he wants to leave Bayern, and then they would open the door next summer. Next summer, you'll have Mbappe on a free, Erling Haaland for €75 million available, mm-hmm. who are one is what, 12 years younger, and the other 11 years younger, and one 12 years younger. So if you're Robert Lewandowski, you're thinking, hang on, what are my prospects in a year time on the transfer window, really, at 34? Even if Jan is right. He's got a body. He can go like Cristiano up to 40 probably. But of all summers, next summer is not the one, even if you're Robert Lewandowski, to want to be out on the market and say, hey, come for me, I'm here, I want to move, I'm available. I only have 1 year left on this contract.
You know, that's a really good point. Equally, Jan, and something we've talked about, is the sheer number of players who we think are going to be on the move next summer. You can also make the point, as yes, you've mentioned Mbappe and Haaland, but it's entirely possible. Next summer, Cavani's contract is up at United, so that could come into play as well. Obviously, Chelsea are where they are. At Liverpool, they'll all be a year older. Yeah. Kane will have vacated Spurs or not, then City could be in play.
Well.
Barcelona, I don't know where the great Koeman experiment is going. I don't believe they may well not have Depay or center forward next summer. You mentioned Mbappe. He'll either be in Madrid, presumably, or Paris Saint-Germain, presumably. So then there could be a Paris Saint-Germain opening. So in reality, in this game of musical chairs, even if you put Lewandowski on a par with Mbappe and Haaland, or maybe as a third option because the other two are younger, Jan, there's more chairs than there are top five strikers in the world, right?
Yes, and
Cristiano's out of contract. Sorry, we have to mention that too.
Yeah.
Cristiano will be out of contract. Otherwise, he'll get offended and put an Instagram post against Jan. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe Salah wants to be on a move. And you know, but what's quite interesting is that we don't know. 1 year is a very, very long time in football. And maybe next summer, Lukaku could have scored 3 goals for Chelsea. He won't do that. He will probably score 25. But I'm just saying, things can change also in the market. But boys, what I just like to add to all this, because there is another element into it. I think that Robert Lewandowski is very annoyed about the discussion about Erling Haaland coming to, linked to Bayern Munich. Mm. This is a guy who's probably the best striker we've seen of its generation. And I take Ronaldo and Messi, not like the number nines, if you understand how I calculate that. Robert Lewandowski is one of the best striker in the history for me. I mean, he's fantastic number nine. And then still he got to read about these linking him that he will Haaland should come in and replace him and so on and so on. And he doesn't like that. He scored 41 goals for Bayern Munich. So I think that this is also a move from his agent and himself to be on the offensive here, saying that we want to leave. I want a new challenge. I mean, he loves it to play in Bayern. You can see that. You can see that he loves to play with players that kind of set him up all the time. Great crosses and so on and so on. So it's quite interesting to follow this, management kind of, because this is a management thing for Bayern now, how they manage this season. It's going to be unbelievably interesting for those of us who loves that. And we all three do.
As you mentioned, with his fitness, we've seen older strikers being productive. Later on, Luis Suarez, obviously, a great example of that. Zlatan, although obviously Lewandowski, different player. But I wonder if maybe, if Jan, if I can encapsulate what you're saying, he talks new challenge. If there's not a new challenge he likes, he still has 2 years. If Bayern don't get Haaland, I'm sure Bayern can look at it and say, let's give him another year.
Definitely.
You know, there's no reason to think he can't perform, between 34 and 35 right now. I want to move it forward to what you said about management and the dynamics of a club, because obviously that's always a big issue at Bayern, right? People always talk. Every manager's had, that they've had in recent years, at one time or another, said tension or run-ins with the people upstairs. Obviously, Rummenigge moving out. Uli Hoeneß is obviously never going to go away.
Yep.
You got Oliver Kahn.
Yep.
And we have your buddy, Hasan Salihamidzic. Now, Jules, I think you have something to say to Brazo.
Yeah, I mean, and I want to have your opinion both on this, because already I've got an issue of a sporting director, regardless of the club or the league, being sat on the bench. This is not the place for a sporting director. They should be in the stands. They're the link between the top of the club and the manager and the team, of course, but their place is not on the bench. Then I'm watching the Super Cup, and already I've seen in the game against Gladbach, Salihamidžić being very vocal with Nagelsmann. But I think they took it to another level on Tuesday night when Salihamidžić was literally standing up next to Nagelsmann in the area for the managers, clearly discussing tactics and things. And I'm like, what's this? What's going on? To start with, we know that Hansi Flick had issues with Salihamidžić and how intrusive I think Salihamidžić was trying to be within the first team at Bayern. And now I'm Nagelsmann. I'm maybe the brightest manager right now in German football, certainly, but maybe in Europe even. I don't need Salihamidžić, who probably doesn't even have his badges, to come and say, hey, do you think maybe Bouna Sarr could come in and right back for the end of the game? I was shocked, and I'm like, what's this?
Yeah, Jan, should Julian go to Salihamidžić and say, hey, Brazo, why don't you go and spend more time working on Leon Goretzka's contract and making sure that Lewandowski's agent doesn't go and screw things up for me?
And stop signing Bouna Sarr's people.
And less time giving me advice, because last time I looked, I'm the guy in charge. I'm the guy with the big paycheck. And I'm the guy coming in here. And I need the support of the club, because Bayern Munich, but Real Madrid too, actually, has been a graveyard for big game for big managers. And I'm a young guy, and I don't want to be undermined.
I agree on all points, but we just have to take another thing into the mixture. This is German football. They've done this for ages. This is a part of their DNA. This is what you see all the time. You see them do that, and I agree with Jules. I mean, that some way that reduced the authority of the manager, the coach. I agree on that, but it's a part of their culture. I think that is and I'm not saying right or wrong. I wouldn't have had it like this if I was Julian Nagelsmann, but this is a part of. Can you imagine that Julian Nagelsmann said that he didn't want Bratzo on the bench? The headlines here then would be unbelievable.
But where else does it happen?
That's interesting.
Where else have you seen it?
Zorc is in the stands. Zorc is not by Marco Rose saying, hey, Marco, what about we play Donjan Malen instead of
Mukoko? When you were at Eintracht, was your manager, was your director of football on the bench next to the coach?
Normally they are all the time, and Sebastian Kehl is sitting there, so this is happening all the time. But boys, I think it is quite interesting to say, because to add to that what Jules is saying, which is more interesting for Bayern, is that Bayern this summer, they're talking about they don't have money, and then they let Martinez, Boateng, Alaba go for free. That is point one. Point two, I think that when you put Salihamidžić and Oliver Kahn in this kind of job, and the German media, and I was in a discussion with journalists here in Germany yesterday about this, I think they underestimated the job that Uli Hoeneß has done since he was 27, since 1977. It seems that it should be so easy to get a job as a boss for Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich is one of the best or biggest companies in one of the biggest entertainment sport industries in the world. And somehow they just put him in there and say, well, everything is okay. And then when you see the transfer activity for Bayern, in all due respect, it hasn't been good. I mean, yes, good that they extended the contract to Kimmich, but that was also a signal to say, yeah, listen, we can talk to someone without an agent, and so on and so on. So I think it's a very valid point what we are discussing here, because suddenly Oliver Kahn and Salihamidžić should run this shop, and nobody thinks that, isn't that a bit weird? And it's nothing against them. I mean, if someone said I took over Manchester United tomorrow, bad example, because they already have a Norwegian. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think added to that, I want to reinforce this. I'm a huge Nagelsmann fan, as you know. But Nagelsmann's, the only places Nagelsmann has worked as a coach have been Hoffenheim, where there's a few dozen fans and a guy with a lot of money named Dietmar, right? And Leipzig, where, again, I don't want to go down the easy plastic club route, but it is low-hanging fruit, where, you know, the blood of fans, a lot of Red Bull employees and nonsense like that. I mean, just even in terms of fan base, of media attention, and so on. Obviously, Leipzig and Hoffenheim, great, well-run clubs, blah, blah, blah. But you're throwing him into one of the biggest institutions that exist in football. He hasn't even had the mid-level of an Eintracht Frankfurt, a Hamburg, let alone a Schalke or a Dortmund.
point.
To me, it's like you have to be careful how you handle this guy.
Yeah, because, I mean, certainly Salihamidžić didn't do that with Flick. Again, he was there on the bench, no problem. But what I saw on Tuesday, I was right. Okay, it almost looked like Salihamidžić had this junior coach that came out of nowhere and goes like, okay, you need a bit of guidance here. You need a bit of... This is Julian Nagelsmann we're talking about. You've just paid 25 million euros for him. And now you're saying to him, let me be patronizing with you. And why don't we bring on... I mean, come on.
Jan, how big a deal is this Nagelsmann's adaptation to the Bayern environment, given his youth and especially given the two clubs he's been at for the previous 5 or 6 years?
Well, good point. He's been part of a consortium. He's coming from two projects, let's put it that way. And there's no disrespect, because both in Leipzig and Hoffenheim, they're doing a fantastic job developing players. Nothing to do with that. He's now coming to the passion of Bayern. It helps that he's from the area. I mean, I can see that. It helps. It also helps that the German journalists are a bit afraid of Bayern Munich, so they don't want to criticize them too much before they lose games. That is the thing that they kind of do. That is the way they're doing it. But it's also interesting to see that if Nagelsmann wanted to, he could have the same frustration as Hansi Flick. Because we are seeing between the lines that he is very frustrated with the squad. There is no depth in his squad. So he's kind of inherited the same problem that Hansi Flick somehow, luckily there was a German job coming up for him, which was a great job for him. But Nagelsmann got the same problem. And I mean, the only way, it's a cliche, but it's the only way Bayern Munich can lose the title is that there's something wrong with Bayern Munich. And they kind of do that all the time. And I think what the opposition now hope that this in-depth will kind of punish them, but it didn't in the Super Cup, because they played with a starting 11, which was a great starting 11. And Nagelsmann, we know that, like Jules is saying, a very smart manager and all that kind of thing. But the measure for Bayern Munich is not Germany, is to be a contender, at least, for the Champions League.
Jan, we're going to leave it there. I was going to ask you about, after the Nagelsmann jacket incident, I've become obsessed with what this guy wears. I'm embarrassed.
Rightly so.
Well, coming from you, Jules, as you probably may have noticed, I worry about the way I dress, not very much. I rarely look at the way other men dress. But with Nagelsmann, it's different. I am fascinated. He had against Gladbach, he had kind of like the little jacket that wasn't zipped up. It wasn't a sports jacket.
Nope.
Can I just ask you, Jan, as a player, you're going to tell me you don't care how the manager dresses, but did you do better in your career with tracksuit managers? Managers who were dressed by the club, like Carlo Ancelotti, for example, or managers who dress themselves, like Nagelsmann.
Or Pep.
As a foreigner in England, you were always, if you had some fashion, the English guys would always say, what is this? Because they wanted their Ted Baker and these long shirts that they have. But what we used to in Germany is that you have the old manager, when I played here, you have these shirts with Reus on. Remember that? They had that kind of shirts. But I think Nagelsmann is funny, because that jacket, I've never seen, first of all, that color was new in my, I've never seen that color in my life, and I'm from 54. So it was funny. And I more remember his suit at Old Trafford when I lost 5-0. I think that was hard on him, losing and that suit.
We have a term for that in Italy that my mom uses. It's color can che scappa. It means the color of an escaping dog.
I was hoping that his dress sense will, because he's joined Bayern now, and because he's Bayern, as we've been saying, and not a smaller club like Hoffenheim or Leipzig, that, you know, he would raise his game in terms of dress sense as well. But clearly, he's got that in him.
You would think so, but come on, when you talk about paragons of style, do you really think Munich, Bavaria?
With all due respect, it's not Milan.
The Hugo Boss suits kind of went out the window many years ago. Thank you so much, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Always a pleasure, boys. See you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Gab. Just go to Indeed.com/Gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, it's time to talk Cristiano.
Ooh.
Because it's rare that he goes out and takes to social media with a long post. And he's been linked to Real Madrid. The story comes from a TV. I just want to go through the background.
You have to explain.
Yes. Okay. All right. So Cristiano has a year left on his contract at Juventus. He earns close to $80 million a year.
Yeah.
And he has an amortization, for accounting fans, of around $30 million or $26 million, right? He's got a year left. Juventus have lost in excess of $300 million over the last 2 years, partly because of the pandemic, partly because of bad choices. And they've said, all right, Cristiano, what do we do with you now? We're happy for you to stay, but if you wanted to go, maybe. They'd want a fee back.
They want the $25 million.
They want the $25 million back. So El Chiringuito is a TV show in Spain, which is super successful. Some people don't take it very seriously. They're the ones who interviewed Florentino, that softball question.
Some say it's a bit trash sometimes.
It's a bit showbiz. However, the guy who broke the news on El Chiringuito is a guy named Edu Aguirre. Yep. Edu, if you're watching, hola, Edu.
Hola.
Edu Aguirre, whatever you think of him, he's a guy who is very close to Cristiano.
Yeah.
He's a bit, in my opinion, don't take this wrong, Edu, slightly unusual in the sense that he kind of looks like Cristiano.
Yeah, he models himself on Cristiano.
He models himself. Yeah. I think it's fair. Yeah, I don't think he would take a...
No.
I don't think he would dispute that. If you go to his Instagram feed, which is Edu Aguirre 7, there you go, Edu, I got you some more followers, you find pictures of him and Cristiano. The most recent one, a month ago. Yeah. Obviously, both have their shirts off. It looks like they're in a holiday location.
Yeah.
But there's many, the two of them playing tennis, the two of them cuddling, the two of them, you know, whatever, right? So he's obviously very, very close to Cristiano. So he comes out and he says that Carlo Ancelotti is in touch with Cristiano and he's trying to get Cristiano back to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Okay? So that comes out on Monday night.
Yeah, and he stole the whole mise-en-scene as well. So he was like at midnight and he was looking down the camera and saying, there's a big club. Who wants Cristiano? A manager.
Exactly.
And it's Carlo. And you were like...
You can go on YouTube and check this out. I mean, these guys know how to do the build-up, right? So Ancelotti makes the unusual step.
It is unusual for him.
He goes out on Twitter and says, maximum respect for Cristiano, Real Madrid legend,
but no.
I never had any plans. I never had plans to sign him for Real Madrid. Now, Georgina, who is Cristiano's partner, she reacts to that tweet with a ha 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 below, which I don't really know what it means. Are you implying that Carlo's lying?
Yeah.
Are you laughing at the notion that Cristiano could leave Juve because it's all nonsense?
Yeah.
And then that evening, Cristiano comes out with his long post,
which
you can read. It's on his Instagram account.
Very long.
Where, okay, people in Italy get annoyed because he doesn't mention Juventus once.
Nope.
He basically says, you know, he lets his actions speak louder than words. He's focused on work, and nobody would dispute that.
Yeah.
He's one of the hardest working people in the world. But he says that he doesn't like it when people speculate on his name. Yeah,
to respect him.
Respect him, right? And he makes reference to the most recent events in Spain and other events and people not going to try to find out the truth. So my reaction to this is social media is supposed to be unfiltered, the voice of the player.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he's saying. No, I don't.
I mean, the statement was not very clear either, to be honest. So either he wanted to put himself back into the limelight, which is very possible.
What, because the little man from Argentina, maybe, from Rosario, has been in the limelight for the last 3 weeks?
Or maybe Edu Aguirre went on his own on this one.
He went rogue?
And Cristiano really was unhappy, and really there's not much truth in it. I don't know. What we know is that Uncle George has tried to speak to clubs. Hey, do you want Cristiano... a City? Do you want Cristiano in Paris? Do you want Cristiano? And maybe he's had that kind of conversation with Real Madrid, but not to the point of Carlo Ancelotti wants to sign him again. That was proper, like, full on from El Chiringuito and Edu Aguirre.
Yeah, and what's difficult for me to understand here is what does Cristiano want? Because the interpretation that they've taken at Juventus is, look, he doesn't want to be, he feels he's being disrespected because he's being seen as a burden. Because, you know, people around Juve are saying, oh, maybe it's time to move on from Cristiano because you can't extend his contract anyway.
And because he's failed, let's be honest. You know, the league, okay, they won the league his first two seasons, not the last one. The Champions League, he was brought in not for Serie A.
I would agree with you there. That depends on where you set the bar of success versus failure. I think we'll get to the really thorny question is whether Juve might actually be a better team with longer term without Cristiano. But sorry, Cristiano, I know it makes you uncomfortable. But what struck me about it is, and this is what I find extraordinary. He said, people speculate around my name without trying to find out the truth or without bothering to find out the truth.
Yes.
I'd love to know because I covered transfers in the past and it's really, really difficult. I think it's even harder today because there's less access.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Fabrizio Romano or somebody like that, then, you know, you do this for a living. But if he had the truth,
I know.
If it was like, so
how'd
easy,
you get
no. Because please tell me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. How do you? Because we call Cristiano or George, and they will say, yeah, actually, no, we're talking to other clubs. We're talking to so and so.
George has 100 people to look after. He doesn't just look after Cristiano, so he might be a bit busy. So So you want to put out the truth? Put out the truth. Right? That would be a good thing to do on Instagram, whether you're Cristiano or whether you're Harry Kane, right?
Yeah.
Rather than a post like, I'm not going to get into it now.
And well, again, okay, we don't know if Cristiano himself...
We don't know
someone,
why he's angry.
Yeah, but we don't know as well what was said to Edu Aguirre if something was said. But we know, Gab, how things works when you're a player or an agent and you brief people for them to write the story with what you said, but without quoting you directly. So it's either a source, or it's either you don't even mention that it's a source, you just mention the story, right?
Well, if you're talking about phone calls between Carlo and Cristiano, right? I wrote this in the story that's going up on the site on Thursday. It's not Carlo's washboard abs that are on Edu Aguirre's Instagram feed. It's Cristiano's. So if they're talking to each other, assuming Edu wasn't listening in and with some kind of remote antenna, it's not hard that one of the two told Edu Aguirre,
right?
It's not hard to figure out which of the two is probably told him, right?
But the thing is, how can you ask for the truth if you said to someone, go and put this out for me, and then go like, you know, that's why if I'm Edu Aguirre, I can't be happy. Either I've been used, and maybe he knew about it and he was fine with it, because you said something on a big show, something that was like, you know, had a lot of build up with and was big and everything. And then a few hours later, Carlo Ancelotti, to start with, make you look like a clown, and then Cristiano himself make you like a clown as well.
Right.
So either Edu knew and was like, yeah, I'll take it, no problem, I'll do that for you, Cristiano. But there's something that doesn't add up somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't know Edu Aguirre personally, but I do know, having been in situations where we all talk to players and manage people tell us things, you're not going to burn a source. You're not going to burn a relationship with one of the greatest players of all time by making something up about him that's going to ruin him.
Definitely.
You know, when you have that relationship.
Yeah.
You may do it when you don't have it. You have nothing to lose. He has everything to lose.
Yeah.
He has everything to lose. Really. So I would tend to believe that certainly, maybe if it wasn't Cristiano directly, it was somebody close to him, certainly told him this, maybe in good faith or whatever. But I'd stay tuned on that. Let's gameplay these implications, because I don't know what's going to happen from Juventus' perspective, as we said. He's a very expensive player to have on their books. But like from the Real Madrid angle, we're going to get into later about all the free agents and this notion that Real Madrid are saving their money. But if I'm Carlo, I look around and I've got Benzema, who's fantastic, who's also 33, and knock on wood, he stays fit. I could probably use another goal scorer, given that Hazard's injury record is what it is, given that Vinicius, I think, scored all of 3 goals last year.
Yeah.
Gareth Bale is Gareth Bale, and comes and goes, and I don't necessarily like him very much. As a player, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if Cristiano came for a year, especially when you figure a year from now, you will have lost Gareth Bale's big wages on the books, or would it?
I don't think it is a good idea. I don't think Real Madrid should go for him. This is his time was great, and his legacy is fantastic, and he would be forever the greatest player that club has ever seen, maybe, or one of the top three. But this is over. This is over. You don't come back. This is not where Real Madrid are right now. They are looking at the future. They're looking at Mbappe and Haaland and.
I'm glad you say that, because I get accused of sounding like Carlo if I say stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's not bad. And even for Cristiano himself, I don't think going back to where you've been so successful when you're 36. And of course, he's still in great shape and he's still scoring goals, and he will score goals at Juventus this season. But we've seen that when he had to step up as a leader and sort of carry that team. He struggled in the Champions League against Porto. There were not two good games from him personally and collectively. But that's why I think that story has ended, him and Real Madrid, and neither of them should go back to it.
Do Real Madrid still need a striker now, or can you go with Benzema and Jovic? Or a striker, goal scorer, whatever.
And Jovic. I think that's fine. And Hazard and Bale, and I think that's okay. I really do.
Okay. From Juve's perspective, let's leave aside the question we teased earlier about whether he's been a success or not and whatever. Just focus on the, as of right now, if somebody shows up with 25 million and it's a destination that Cristiano's okay with, do you let him go?
Yeah, you do. And you have to. You have to, because it was always going to be a short story, okay? And in that short story, he's got loads of goals, which we all knew he would. Maybe he scored a little bit more than you expected, maybe a little bit less, not sure. Maybe you thought he would be more dominant in Serie A, maybe not. Okay, but the goals were always going to be there, and they've been there. But for the rest, I'm sorry, for me, this has been a bit underwhelming. You know, his arrival there, what they've done in the Champions League, even what they did last season.
I think as you know this from our Aubameyang discussions, you don't pay players for what they did before. You pay players for what they're going to contribute in the future.
Yeah,
and from that perspective, I look at this and, if I'm Juve, a year from now, I don't know if I can extend him. He becomes a free agent. I genuinely don't know. They've lost 300 million over the last 2 years. I don't know if they can extend him. On top of that, you've gone in a new direction in terms of trying to get the squad younger, to trying to move in that, this with De Ligt, Locatelli, McKennie, Chiesa, and so on. That's Kulusevski. That's where you want to go.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit that. He simply doesn't fit that. So if you can kind of accelerate the rebuild now, you know, maybe if you can let him go, you've got Morata, you bring in another center forward, and you see where you are there. That, to me, wouldn't be a bad plan.
Yeah.
For the broader question about whether Cristiano's been a success or not, it depends what you expected from him. I always thought it was wrong to say, all right, well, Cristiano's there to win the Champions League. Man, he's not, because one player is not going to do it for
sure.
I think he has performed, he scored a ton of goals. I think he's performed in big games, not against Porto. I completely agree with you.
Or against Lyon. And this is where, and maybe he's too narrow-minded to
some. Judge him on one player?
No, but I'm not summing up his time at Juve just on those two ties, Porto and Lyon especially. But I was at the game against Lyon in Turin, and there was something wrong there. He was not happy. He was, all he was doing, and he scored a great goal in that game, which was not enough, by the way, but he was all on his own. There was nothing around him. He looked from the stands, Gab, he looks like, come on, this is not right. He deserved better than that, in a way. And Juve maybe can't offer him a stronger team for him to go and win those big trophies again.
It's an interesting one, and this goes back to one of my age-old bugbears, which, as you know, is transparency, right? Part of the reason Juve made this investment in Cristiano was they said, we need to make a quantum leap to the big four of football. Because there is a legitimate big four of football, and it's in terms of revenue. It's still, even now with all the losses, Barcelona, it's Real Madrid, it's Manchester United, and it's Bayern, right?
Commercially,
right?
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain punch way above their weight in many ways, but ultimately it is a different market. Juventus thought that Cristiano could be part of the way of getting there. So it wasn't just about success on the pitch. And the problem is when you get into that, it's really difficult to go and measure because, first and foremost, you've had the impact of COVID. Secondly, it's hard to tell how much does the team success on the pitch then fuel the commercial success, how much of it is down to Cristiano. And also, it's not like Cristiano's performing for free. You're paying Cristiano a lot of money, and you've paid a lot of money to get him, so that kind of offsets whatever commercial benefit he brings to some degree. So, Andrea Agnelli addressed this saying, well, but on a non-COVID player value rating, blah, 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 it's a net positive. I mean, it's gibberish. It doesn't mean anything, right? You can use whatever.
Completely.
So, do you think if they could do it again, they would?
I wouldn't have done it at the time. I wrote at the time that I wouldn't have done it.
But now they've got those 3 years in hindsight, would they do it again?
If you were inject Andrea Agnelli with a truth serum, I think he would say no. They would not do it again. And it's not a knock on Cristiano.
It's just
that team at that time was in the wrong space for it.
Yeah.
Remember, they changed managers after his first season. Max Allegri left after his first season. This was a team of older players that maybe could have competed. Maybe they could have won a Champions League. But when you know that, you know, already in April that Allegri's going to leave you after one season with Cristiano, something's wrong behind the scenes. So, yeah, from that perspective, no, I think... And it's not, again, Cristiano fanboys. It's not a knock on Cristiano at all.
No. And he's had three managers in three seasons, so...
He's got plenty of mitigating circumstances. But from the club, no, I don't think it was... Look, it's... I think it's an open secret. It's why Beppe Marotta left the club.
Yeah.
Fabio Paratici is also no longer there. I don't think that's a coincidence either. Yeah. Obviously, he stuck around for three seasons because he was getting paid. Pavel Nedved's there, but he'll never go away. going back... Yeah, no, I don't think you do it again.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, enough Cristiano. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Now let's go with a Kane update. Yep. He didn't travel for a Spurs game against Pasos de Ferreira. That's okay. Neither did major Spurs stars like Tanguy Ndombele and Serge Aurier, your boys.
Yeah.
Of course, they're playing in the Europa Conference Thursday night. Nuno says he will assess him later to see if he's ready to play this weekend. Jules, to me, this all seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
Anything to read into it?
I don't think so. He's not ready to. He's trained only about a few times with the first team. He needs more fitness work, more training before
he tweeted a picture
again
of himself training. Like, another one in the bank.
Yeah. But the fact is, he still wants to leave. And right now, Spurs are still not opening the door. Daniel Levy doesn't want even to pick up the phone. So let's see where that goes.
Why don't City make another bid?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will, whether that's 120, 150, enough, not enough. We'll see. But as we've been saying, this is going to drag on a little bit. By the way, the best thing about this Pasos de Ferreira Spurs game was, I don't know if you saw the video that Pasos de Ferreira put out.
Yeah.
Trolling Spurs, as in like, oh, we're playing a London club. So they go, okay, it's two fans. Go like, yeah, we must be playing Chelsea. And he goes like, well, no, they're in the Champions League. Oh, okay, so we may be playing Arsenal. Well, no, they didn't qualify for Europe. Okay, so what, West Ham? No, they're in the Europa League.
Fulham? No, they're in the Championship. Fulham.
No, they went down. So he goes like, okay, is it Crystal Palace then? And then the mascot comes in and then throw like a piece of paper with a Spurs badge on it. And the guy goes, oh, Tottenham, it's going to be easy then. And I'm like, whoa.
That's awesome. I got to check that out.
Dusan Vlahovic hasn't renewed his contract, well, at least yet, with Fiorentina, Gab. And he's been linked with half of the big teams in Europe. Do you get the impression that he will move to whatever team Harry Kane doesn't join? Does that make sense?
Yeah, increasingly I get that. Look, he's got 2 years left. He's very young. He doesn't make a lot of money, so obviously, rightly, they want to extend him. Rocco Commisso, the Fiorentina owner, said, if he goes, it's going to be for a big fee. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But I did wonder about what's kind of holding this up is he would make sense at both clubs. He would make sense at Spurs if you want to go younger, if you want a strong, gifted center forward. Obviously, he's young. He's got an upside. He's not the finished article. And I think it would make sense
at Spurs as well. At City. Yeah. If you feel you still need to get a body in, you know, he is a longer term project, but he is 21 years old. So I thought that's not necessarily a bad spot to be in.
No, definitely.
Manchester United have offered Paul Pogba a new deal worth around £20 million a year, £400K a week. It's been reported. They say they're just waiting for him to sign it. Jules, if he rings you up and says, "Look, I don't want to get advice from me. I want to get advice from you, Jules, because you're Paris-born and bred."
I'm ready for the phone call.
Should I sign this deal now or should I wait around?
Wait around. Why? There's no rush. You can. Giorgio Chiellini extended his deal at Juve after the Euros, after the summer. So there's no rush. See what's happening. The season has started well for him and for the team. See how it goes. See if you're happy with Varane. Varane is happy there with you as well. There's that kind of connection. And see where that goes, you know. And you can make a decision in January or even, again, in May if you want to.
Andreas Pereira is moving to Flamengo, so you know he's not going to take your spot.
Or your number. In fact, Gab, there are tons of players who will become free agents next summer. And the rumour in Madrid is that Florentino is getting ready for all those free players. Camavinga, Pogba, Rudiger, Goretzka, Mbappe. Is he copying my PSG team?
It does look that way. I mean, look, this story, to me, it sounds like somebody sitting there going on Transfermarkt and getting a list of... But we know. And, you know, you can also throw in Haaland. He's not going to be free, but at $70 million for Haaland, that's a deal.
Yeah.
So if I'm Florentino, I'll put that out there that this is my plan. I still think he's hoping that he can get Mbappe now.
Yeah.
Because, as you well know, there is a year left, and you know, I've been reported even that Mbappe's unhappy because now he's number three because behind Messi and Neymar. I don't know if he has an ego. You say no, but whatever. But if not, sure. You know, but you can still compete this year, right? You still have a decent enough team to compete, given that Barcelona are down, given Atletico probably maybe unlikely to repeat on paper because it's hard. So wait for next year.
We saw with the Alaba deal that. They still cost you a lot of money eventually.
It will still cost you a ton of money, and it will be very lucrative, though, for the agents. Arsenal are going shopping, Jules. They've been linked with a £70 million splash on goalkeeper Aaron Ramsdale and midfielder Martin Odegaard. Does this make sense to you, or are they just buying duplicates in positions where they already have decent players rather than addressing the needs they may have? Sorry, I couldn't resist.
You couldn't resist. I know.
What about James Madison? I thought Madison was coming.
Odegaard was always the priority, and he's much cheaper. I think at £30 million, you get a good deal for Odegaard, who's 22, who's very talented.
Neil Smith-Rowe will love that.
But they're different players. It's what I was saying on the
different
FC
Different players who play the same position, okay.
But they might be the same. You can have players in the same position that have got different attributes.
Yeah, but there's only one position, so whatever.
But right? Smith-Rowe can play in a... They can play together to start with, and they've played together.
Leno and Ramsdale can't both play together and go.
Ramsdale, that one... question mark over that more than Odegaard because they wanted a number 10 as a playmaker 10.
With Leno,
no playmaker 10.
With Ramsdale, I'm assuming they don't want to extend Leno's contract. He's got 2 years left, if I'm not mistaken.
And they wanted a strong number 2, or second option.
Okay, Milan spent $30 million. First of all, they had a great number 2 in Emi Martinez. We know how well that worked out. Yeah. But unless they have somebody lined up for Leno, well, whatever. Who are we to ask? Trust in Edu.
Meanwhile, is Lautaro Martinez finally getting the new contract at Inter that he wanted, Gab, and that he was looking for? And does that mean that my boy Marcus Thuram is not going to come, or could you do both?
I think you could do both. Maybe you can't do both if you're Inter unless you convince Alexis to go away. I don't know that they necessarily need to do both.
Dzeko has arrived as well. So
Dzeko replaces Lukaku. Yeah. Lautaro is there, and then... You know, last season it was Alexis, and then you had Pinamonti, who's a young guy, still floating around somewhere. I don't even know if he's still there, but it doesn't matter, he never played. I guess they think Dzeko's a little less durable, so maybe we need a little more cover. Thuram's fine. You are bringing Mino Raiola in house. But it would be better if you could get rid of Alexis. But it was important. It is important to lock up Lautaro. Mo Salah is entering the final 2 years of his contract at Liverpool, and reportedly talks are underway for a 2-year extension through 2025. Makes sense to you, Jules?
I know you're not going to like it because he's 29, so he's almost on the wrong side of the age bracket.
On the hook till you're 33,
But I don't know. I see his performance against Norwich at the weekend, and I think he's amazing. He's still has a lot to offer to that club. Yeah, it's a long-term deal. It's an extra 4 years. He'd be 33. But I don't know. I don't know where, if you're Liverpool, you can go to replace him.
I think that's part. Look, I think it's a situation at the start of it that we talked about 3 years ago when I said, "Hey, look, all these guys are the same age. Yeah. Careful." Salah's been playing really well, and I think a great start to the season. So, yeah, I mean, you want to keep him around if you can. And, you know, he works hard. He's a two-way player. He works hard both ends.
Former PSG star and adopted.
Star.
Yeah, I knew you would put it. And adopted Parisian. We did love you, Alessandro Florenzi. He's on his way to Milan. Gab, are you happy? Is that a good pick?
And champion of Europe, I might add, as well.
Yes, of course.
Let's not forget that little detail.
For 4 years now, I would have.
Yeah, it's this weird thing. He's on a big contract with Roma. They don't want to pay it. He's had fallings out with the club. It's just sad because he is Roma born and bred. So that's why he's been on loan all over the place. Yeah, I think he's a good pickup. He's an alternative to Calabria at right back. It's a loan with an option to buy. Not going to be a lot of money. Why not? It is a good pickup. And as Milan start their season.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Staying in Serie A, Juventus have added Manuel Locatelli to the middle of the park. Just what they needed, right, Jules?
I think so, Gab. It's one of those Juve deal again. Is it a two-year loan and then you have to pay the fee?
It's a two-year loan with an obligation to buy.
Yeah, like the Chiesa deal. I mean, good for them if they manage to structure that deal
cash.
Exactly. I mean, they're very creative and inventive in the way they do it. But Locatelli, as we saw at the Euros and certainly with Sassuolo last season, fantastic player, exactly what they need. We said that they need a midfield overhaul. And I think it's a good start. It's a good player to have.
I think they're looking, obviously, to see to possibly shift some players. And once the McKennie's names come up, from what I was told, Allegri's staff really like him.
I know, I would be surprised.
There were some concerns about some issues off the pitch with him. And I guess maybe he's easier to shift than, and he's more of a market right now.
Yeah.
Than Archer, yeah. Who's going to get Archer?
Exactly.
Maybe why don't they swap Archer for Pjanic again?
Oh my God.
And this time they can value them at 100 million.
120?
They both make money.
God, yeah.
There you go.
Gab, your boy Roberto De Zerbi. And
he's our boy.
Our boy, because that was an education watching the Niko Kovac v De Zerbi match. But they won 1-0 in Monaco in the Champions League playoff first leg. This was great.
It was. I'm two minds about this because I do spend time near Monaco. And I want to say I like the club because there's a lot of issues with it, but they're
onto something good right now.
But equally, De Zerbi, come on, man. How can you not be a De Zerbi fan? It is a bit special. He just got there to get Shakhtar back in the Champions League.
The first 20 minutes they played was some of the best 20 minutes I've seen this season.
And it's going to be... Wow. But still, this is very much wide open, really tight.
Yeah, completely.
And you want to watch some good midweek football next week?
Yeah.
Like we said, big games coming up.
Definitely.
Lyon have apparently now suspended Marcelo. Is that punishment for playing poorly? Do French employment laws mean like, if you make some stupid back passes and move too slowly, you can...
So you mean the own goal, terrible own goal by Marcelo at the weekend? This could be it. The fact that he's 34 and rubbish now. But it's more that he was caught sarcastically being laughing at his own captain who was having a speech after the heavy defeat that Lyon suffered at Angers at the
captain?
Weekend. Léo Dubois, who was, when you try to gather everyone and regroup and say, come on, boys, we need to do better this night.
Former French international, Léo Dubois, no less.
He would stay currently as well. And Marcelo was in the corner
who's
laughing.
Keeping Dubois out of the side? Come on, tell us.
No, but he's part of the show squad, I'm right back.
he's the guy who sits behind Benjamin Pavard.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that must do to your ego if you're a professional football player?
Well, yeah, but either of them maybe should be.
He's like Bounassar.
Yeah, exactly. But, okay. He's another Bounassar. But Marcelo was laughing. They didn't like it. Peter Boyle said, hey, you out. So they expelled him into the reserve. And now probably going to like terminate his contract or sell him or whatever. But it's just showed
Wouldn't
that
it cost them money to terminate his contract?
They extended him in March. They gave him an extra 2 years in March. It's crazy stuff. Really.
And he's
crazy.
Not that bad. I mean, obviously
he
was terrible.
He was terrible at the weekend.
No, I know. But I mean, he still started for a team that did well in the Champions League 2 years
true.
Ago and whatever. Like,
Yeah. But he's not.
Like, he's going to get another job, basically. He's going
to
get a big paycheck and another job, right?
Yeah, probably. It's likely. Okay. So I don't think he's too upset about it. Let's put it that way. Sheriff Tiraspol beat Dinamo Zagreb 3-0 Gab in the same Champions League playoff first leg. And they look on the verge of becoming the first Moldovan team to reach the Champions League group stage. Gab, your thought? Are you happy for Moldovan football?
I think this thing is pretty high. Obviously, Sheriff have had their ups and downs because there's a rich guy there who pulls money into the team.
Yeah.
They did play really, really well. If you get a chance to find the highlights, and they're not easy to find, weirdly, it did look really good. Again, you know, Dinamo Zagreb have been in the Champions League. This is not a rubbish side.
No, Adama Traoré, the former Ligue 1 and Metz legend.
One of many Adama Traorés. Yeah.
Yes.
but it's weird because they're not really in Moldova. Or they are in Moldova, but they're also not. They're also in Transnistria.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, this is a fascinating story.
Yeah, great story.
A bit of geopolitics, huh? Essentially, Tiraspol is in the eastern part of the country, and it's in a part of the country where there's a lot of ethnic Russians, whereas Moldova, a lot of them are more closer aligned to Romania.
Yeah.
And so basically, after Moldova became independent, and it looked like the country was moving towards Romania, the capital of Moldova is Chisinau, those other guys says, screw this. We don't want to be part of Europe. We don't want to speak Romanian, you know, or Moldova. We want to stick to our Russian roots. So essentially, they didn't quite secede, but they created sort of the Republic or Transnistria, which is only recognized by Russia, which is protected by Russia.
Oh,
but they're still in Moldova. It's a weird story. I don't know. I wonder if I can convince my boss to send me there on a reporting trip. But I think it'd be good. It's a great tale if they get in there, right?
Yeah, if they get Man City, because now they're going to qualify. They're not going to lose 4-0 in the second leg. So, hey, you know, some big clubs will go there for sure.
Sticking with the Champions League playoffs, Benfica squeaked by PSV Eindhoven. Jules, these are two former European champions. Of course, contested, was it the 1988 final. Yeah, 33 years ago. This is still wide open. It's 3-2.
Yeah, that was a great game, Gab. On one hand, Roger Jesus against Roger Schmidt. It was brilliant. Both teams played really well. I like this PSV Eindhoven team, really young team, but then you've got Götze and Zahavi up front, but you've got, you know, someone like Noni Madueke, who's a fantastic talent.
What a goal from Zahavi.
Yeah.
He leathered it.
Yeah, although he was slightly offside, unfortunately for him, but Cody Gakpo scored a great goal. I mean, and then Benfica. Benfica, good. Jürgen Weigl scored. I mean, like, come on. It was Götze against Weigl. It was great. I can't wait for the second leg, but you're right. One of those two teams will not qualify, and it's a bit of a shame. And we go back to the point that we were making on Monday's show about those playoffs and qualifiers for the Champions League. I think it's a shame that one of Benfica or PSV won't be there. In the Champions League.
Totally.
The Basman has a new home. Michy Batshuayi is off to Besiktas on loan and obviously gets a contract extension at Chelsea because that's what you do. You extend and then they loan you out. Kennedy has done the same. Bakayoko, I think, will do the same too.
Could be heading to Milan, Bakayoko.
Yeah, that's what Marina does. Good move for Batshuayi and for Chelsea.
What I loved about this is also, and to go check this out, Besiktas, of course, they're getting the batsman.
Yeah.
The guy who, by the way, you know people that give you nicknames? No, he gave himself the nickname, right? So it's all Batman themed.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
It is cool.
Even though Batman, I don't think, is part of the Marvel universe, but still, we appreciate everybody.
We do.
I just think this is the state of football today that people don't quite realize this, right? He's a Chelsea player.
Yeah.
Remember, I think I said last Monday, Chelsea had 38 first-team players listed on their website. Obviously, they have to shed most of these.
25-man squad, so.
Yeah, so what you do is you send him on loan to Besiktas, you work out something with the wages where Besiktas pay most of them or whatever, and you give him another year to retain his value. Yeah. And it's an endless cycle that continues.
And then one day you will sell him and make money.
Or maybe you don't sell him, but he's not costing you because when he goes somewhere else, somebody else pays the salaries.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of these things that I'm not having a go at Chelsea. There's other teams that do this as well. although maybe not to the degree or not to the success, success. Of Chelsea. But it's one of the many dysfunctions of European football. And I think if we're careful, stuff like this is going to end up just simply turning people off.
Yeah.
Jules, you're the kit expert here. What do you make of the new third kits Puma designed for Manchester City, Milan, and Borussia Dortmund? And describe
and
them
Marseille
for those
and others.
I know, but only sticking to the big clubs.
Yeah, so it's a big no for me, and I will tell you why. So basically, you've got a shirt with no crest. The crest is designed on the fabric, so you don't have a crest per se, right, as in a crest. And then you've got the name of the city of your club right in the middle, in case you'd forgotten, you know, who your team was or what they were called, which I think, again, has no place on a football shirt.
But weirdly, the sponsor's logo seems even bigger.
It is even bigger. And I think it's a terrible call by Puma. It's a terrible call by those clubs to have accepted it. It makes no sense whatsoever. And also, it's the same pattern for all those clubs, which is, it's not the idea. It's not because you're all Puma club that you need to have exactly the same kit apart from the colours and, I guess, the sponsor. It's a big mistake for me. Maybe not as bad as the Juventus third kit that they've just announced that looked like a rugby league team from the northwest of England, like, you know,
Warrington,
yeah, or Wakefield or whatever they're called.
St. Helens.
It's horrible blue and yellow. It's terrible.
I know my rugby league.
And I think it's a real shame because I really think that some clubs got it spot on for their home, away and third kit. We've seen some really nice kit being done this season, and yet you've got those clubs who ruin it all.
As you know, I don't care about kits.
I know you don't,
but
I do.
I do actually in this case because it looks different. And, you know, Puma said we were bold, we were different. I'd rather somebody came out and made something that looked different, even though I agree with you, these ones look...
But you agree that a crest is there for a reason,
yes,
for a purpose.
Yeah,
it should appear on your shirt.
You know what these look like? These look like... You know what jerseys are? People who don't want to buy official jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
With,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
an American,
we've
football
got
players'
them in
numbers
France
on the
well.
Back and stuff.
At the market, yeah, you buy them.
It looks like that.
Yeah,
it looks
completely.
Like, you know, they were made, like, in a sweatshop.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't, obviously. Sorry, Puma. But...
Terrible.
They do look cheap.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, well done, Puma, for trying something different. Now go and try something different again. Like, I don't...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a traditionist who says, oh,
no, no, me neither. But there's some...
I don't like those kits. This is why I'm not into as kits as you are. Like, those people who, like, you know, the Real Madrid shirt comes out, like, 3 years in a row, and to me it all looks exactly the same. People are like, oh, no, but
the
18-19 kit is so much better than the 16-7. Come on, man.
It's all in the detail.
Get a freaking
It's
mind.
In the detail.
Yeah.
In the Championship, Millwall manager Gary Rowett has suggested that players come up with an alternative gesture to taking the knee because they get booed by fans. Well, certainly the Millwall fans booed the opposition the other day, and it creates a divisive atmosphere. I think I know your thought, but please.
Yeah, so, well, you know my initial thoughts about not leaving up to the individuals. But what I don't get here is a couple things here, right? So first of all, he doesn't say, well, maybe our fans, the fans who do boo somebody expressing their view, should be a little more tolerant about other people
and
expressing their opinion.
Should have condemned
first and
more.
Foremost.
Yeah. Should have condemned more.
But secondly, I'm sorry, if you come up with an alternate gesture, right? So, all right, so instead of taking a knee, we're all going to, you know, do a raised fist or whatever.
Yeah.
But you think these people are going to stop
booing?
I mean, is that really what you're saying? Right?
That's why he was so wrong in his intervention and comments.
Can I say something? Like, I don't know the man personally, so I can only judge by things he says and does and the way he behaves. I don't like this guy going back to Derby. I don't like the football he plays. I don't know what he's trying to achieve here. There is a debate to be had, but this certainly isn't.
But this is part of the problem as well, I think.
I feel for Millwall players who are put in this position, the ones who do choose to kneel.
Yeah.
Because it still is a choice.
Yeah.
Right? And to have a manager come out and say, well, why don't you go do something else?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't you shut up, Gary?
Yeah.
All right, Jules, let's help out Laporta. Out of Coutinho, Miralem Pjanic, Samuel Umtiti, to name three guys who I think they would all love to ship.
Yeah.
They would probably love to ship your boy Antoine Griezmann out as well.
Yeah.
But these are the three, I think, that they most seriously want to ship. Who is most likely to find a new home? Let's have a little wager here.
Yeah.
Are all three going to be playing for a different club come September 1st?
I want to say Coutinho, because I still think that he's young enough, the talent is there. Let's say that all his injury issues have sorted. there's something there, and I would really want to see him. And maybe it's a shame that he's not staying. And if he stays, let's build a bit around him, because that's what I think he would be really good within. Is that you know that he needs to touch the ball a lot. He needs to have some players around him who have good movement and etc. And I think it could still work for him at Barca in another club. So I would want to say Coutinho.
The most likely to leave.
The most likely to find a good club for him, that's if he's not staying at Barca. And they actually,
what about Umtiti? Is he fit? He's played in some friendlies, no?
He's played in the Gamper Trophy. He came on. He came on at the end against Real Sociedad. No, he didn't. That was Longley. No. So
yeah, it's easy to get Umtiti and Longley.
No, but no, because I was
they're both French and they look the same.
I was thinking as I was talking. I think the big question mark is his injury records and also the huge wages that he has, which Coutinho has as well, more than Pjanic, I guess, but still. But yeah, Umtiti would be harder. And Pjanic has hardly played, so who will take him?
Anybody who wants a guy who can pass the ball from a standstill and who is he's a good egg, he's a good guy, he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's great, I love him.
I think he'd be good in a dressing room, just not the fit at Barca.
Yeah, maybe not. Pedro is on his way across Rome from Roma to Lazio. He's not really a Mourinho guy, Gab. Is he a Sarri guy? I mean, they've worked together before, of course. So
they've worked together before. Sarri, I think, really likes him. He still has time left in his contract, but it's a free transfer because he makes absurd amounts of money. I think he's on like equivalent of 160 grand a week. Wow. It's his old Chelsea contract.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that makes sense. Obviously, Roma, you know, you got Zaniolo, Shurumudov.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tammy Abraham.
Tammy.
So I do wonder, though, at Lazio, does that then open the door for a reshuffle? Could Correa go?
Yeah.
Correa, of course, has been linked to Inter.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see Lazio, to see Sarri's 4-3-3 with those players. Where do you put Milinkovic-Savic and Luis Alberto? I mean, you're going to ask.
Are you play them alongside of Lucas Leiva?
On paper, that's a pretty attacking team.
It is very attacking.
I mean, that's basically five attacking players.
God,
plus Lucas Leiva. Should be an interesting one. But yeah, I wish Pedrito well. And remember, isn't he the guy who's won like
everything?
He's won literally everything in 1 year. Yeah. Like he was at Barcelona, right? So I think he can do a job. Obviously, you have to be realistic. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
Wild story out of Norway. 12 players from Brann are being investigated after they reportedly arranged a late-night orgy at their own stadium with seven women after going out clubbing. Jules, this is surreal. It's also a serious story. The police are investigating potential sexual assault as well. But I'm flabbergasted.
I mean, this is just crazy. And They took all precautions, apparently, because they left all the phones, in the dressing room and
stuff. So they couldn't be tracked by Bill Gates and the Chinese government?
They forgot that there was CCTV camera in every stadium. So, okay, let's leave the phones so, no photos will be taken. And then they're live on the CCTV camera system in the whole stadium. That's how
security. Also, at a stadium? I mean, I don't understand. Like, you need to go to your... there's nowhere else in... I've been to Bergen.
Maybe.
It's very, very cold. Maybe you're not honest,
I've never been to Bergen, yeah.
It's
I don't know, but it's a crazy story. And I don't think that Brann right now, considering their results, the performances of those players, need that kind of controversy and scandal either.
The fans made voiced their displeasure. They posted banners at the club saying scum. It's an ugly story.
It is an ugly story. Chelsea had an open practice there for supporters at Stamford Bridge, but maybe Timo Werner, Gab, didn't really enjoy it so much. Tell us what happened.
It was one of those stories like when things go wrong. First of all, kudos to Chelsea for arranging open practice at Stamford Bridge.
And stuff. Yeah.
Well, because not many clubs do this, right? As far as I know, right?
Some do. I don't. At least this season, I think this is the first one to do it.
Right.
But this is good. You invite some of your, members. And
so I think Timo Werner's like, there's a video of this up on the web, but he's like walking. He's got the European Cup, and there's some dude with a microphone who's like talking to the fans, right?
Yeah, and you can ask questions or you can say something that you want to say.
The guy says, "Yeah, we need to sort this. We need to get Timo Werner out
of
straight
the
away." And it's just, the video is just funny because there's this woman, like the type with like the long blonde hair and the glasses, big glasses. She's like, "No, you need to get out. You need to get out." I don't know if it's like some relative of Timo's. Like, I'm like, dude, chill. Like, all right, The guy's a bit of an ass to come out and say this, yeah. But equally, I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
All right, that brings us to an end. But Jules, we got to come back on Monday and do this all over again, right?
Yes, let's
do it. Because it's Chelsea versus Arsenal this weekend, Serie A kicking off. I don't think we'll be short of things to talk about. So, as you know, I always say this at the end, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.